pushing start. This is Emily Hutchison. Today is November 4th. I'm a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm interviewing Max Griffiths. The interview is taking place at the 2016 SAF National Convention in Madison, Wisconsin at the Monona Terrace Convention Center. This interview is sponsored by the Society of American Foresters and the University of Wisconsin Oral History Program, and it's part of the SAF Oral History Project. Can you say your name and spell your last name?
Max Griffiths, G-R-I-F-F-I-S.
Perfect. Okay, the volume's good. So the first question to start off is, can you tell me the story of how you came to want to be a forester or work with natural resources?
I grew up in the suburbs of Las Vegas, Nevada, so I was never really exposed to an outdoorsy lifestyle kind of feel. My parents both worked in the casinos for like 30 years, and I worked in the casinos when I was a teenager. And when I was looking for colleges and looking at what I wanted to do my sophomore and junior year of high school, I saw the word forestry, and it really just popped out to me, and it kind of, then I researched it and learned more about it, and when I started looking at universities where I could do forestry, I saw it was like a great way to service humanity, and I'd like to have a career where I can be at peace with myself serving others.
So what sort of classes are you taking, or have you taken so far?
Forestry related or just any classes?
Maybe especially forestry related or anything that relates to your interest in natural resources.
Okay. I'm also an environmental affairs minor on top of forestry, and I've taken a bit more of those classes so far than forestry, because for forestry you have to do the prereqs. I've taken forest economics, which was very fun. I don't know why everyone else hated it. I liked it. I've taken sustainable watersheds. I have taken global environmental sociology. I'm taking environmental ethics, ecology, meteorology, and next semester I'll have four more forestry classes. So now next semester I really get into.
Okay. So those, most of those are prereqs for the forestry classes?
Those, yeah.
Okay. And so what do you do in forest economics?
In forest economics, it was basically natural resources economics. And there's like all these different models to do natural resources through economics, as opposed to like general economics, which was cool because I always liked economics in high school, and the one I got to do it in college, especially early, because you needed it. Most students had to take the normal 202 econ before they could do it, but I got to skip it. And so basically it had a lot to do with timber harvesting and selling commodities that were natural resources related.
And where do you go to school?
I go to school at Colorado State University.
And so did you learn about forestry as a major when you got there or before you got there?
Before I got there. I had my two schools narrowed down to Oregon State and Colorado State when I was picking. And I knew I wanted to stay on the West Coast because that's the forest that I want to work with. I mean, regardless of if I go to the East Coast and work, I'd like to be back on the West. And so I went to Colorado once, and I was like, I'm coming here. And I'd been to Oregon State many times.
So when you say the forest you want to work with, is that the West in general, or is there a specific area?
I like the Pacific Northwest the best.
Okay, great. Have you had any forestry jobs yet?
Yeah, this summer I was a wildland firefighter for the BLM in the Great Basin area, kind of at the Utah-Nevada border, and it was really fun. I got a lot out of it, got a lot of practical experience, chainsaws, just tons of fun stuff, got paid to work out. It was awesome.
So how long does that last?
It was from literally the day after I finished my freshman year of college to a week before I went back to school.
And did you, what was the experience like, living situation?
Oh, it was different than I imagined, because I was from, the town I was working in was called Caliente, Nevada, and it had, I think, 1,200 people, as opposed to my city that I was from, Las Vegas, had like 2 million. So it was weird living with, I lived in just barracks at the BLM, which was nice. It was nicer than my college dorm.
Yeah.
I had a good time. And the people were really different. It took me a bit to like relate to the small town people. But by the end of the summer, I came out, and now I know the world's like, everyone's not the same. It was a good experience.
And how many days of that time were you firefighting?
I would say maybe about a quarter of it. We did other things too. We actually cleaned up a couple marijuana grows, because that area is like big with cartels and stuff. And the BLM Rangers are like, and the DEA are out there being really, they're really vigilant out there. So we did a bit of that. Did traveling around the whole state. We, unfortunately, a few firefighters passed away, not at my station, but a station adjacent to us. So we had to cover theirs for a little bit as they were kind of grieving. That was sad. But fighting fire was fun. The first day I saw fire was like one of the coolest days. Like, we drove into it. It was wild. I don't mean to act like I'm talking to the microphone, because I didn't realize this would be like conversation with you. This is nice. Yeah, the first day we saw fire was like so cool. I'll never forget it. I'm sorry my phone keeps vibrating.
That's okay. Gosh. I can't tell. The other thing, I am trying not to make listening noises, mm-hmm. so for this purpose, but it's difficult in more of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So do you think you'll do that again next summer?
I'm not sure, because at Colorado State, we have to take a six-week summer class that's required at our, like, mountain campus, because we have, like, a summer camp, mountain campus thing up in the Rockies, and it's all natural resources. It's like a natural resources field camp, so it'll be fun. I'm really excited, but kind of takes me out of consideration for a lot of really cool jobs. And this summer, I was, like, thinking about being on a hotshot crew or something, doing something really cool, but I don't know. This summer, I may just end up working for the State Forest Service or something. Mm-hmm. Any job I can get that's related to my field, I will do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Cool. So, how have you been involved in SAF?
So, at our Colorado State's SAF, we do a lot, like, in our community, and it's a pretty important club at the school. I mean, we won second this year. And apparently they were good before I got there last year too. And our president like split us up into committees so we could like easier organize our events, and I run our like education and outreach projects. So basically I set those up and just tell everyone to go and why they should go in the club. And yeah, that's what I do.
Cool. Okay. So this project was developed to understand people's perceptions of diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession. How has your ethnicity, cultural background, or gender influenced your career as a forester? And you can also talk about your regional experience here.
Well, I'd say as a forester, my ethnicity or any of that didn't affect it at all. Like, I'd say I'm very fortunate to be a white male in America, because there's lots of discrimination, and I'm not saying I'm for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's unfortunate. When I see, I like being in forestry now, because I do think, like, I'm like all for like women's empowerment and feminism and things like that, and I feel strongly about that. Like, I've got some pretty like strong women friends back home that I miss, and they want to be politicians, and power to them. And we started a women's empowerment club at my high school. And when I see women foresters and women forest firefighters and them, they are awesome. They are the most badass ones out there, and it is great.
That's good. That's good.
Sorry if I, like, strayed from the question there, but I just, like, feel strongly about that. Because, like, being at this convention, like, you only see white males with beards, except me. I don't have a beard, but I wish. I can't grow a beard. But, like, I don't know, the field, it's not like we're not doing anything to make the field of forestry like not diverse. It's just certain people are attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't meet, like, from my experience, at least in the Southwest, I don't meet people who are like discriminatory at all. It's just for some reason other people, other ethnicities, other diverse backgrounds of people aren't attracted to forestry. And I mean, I get why, like, we're not that diverse. At my school, we have like 160 people in the forestry program, and there's like 25,000 that go to the whole school. So
what do you feel like, what do you think the breakdown is between like people from rural areas or urban areas in the school SAF chapter?
I'd say like we're about half and half, rural people from rural, people from like cities. But if it's going to tip one way, I'd say more rural people. Mm-hmm. Because they identify more with the resources, and they know so much more coming in, I feel like. Just so much more practical things. Like, I didn't know a ton of practical things. I still don't. Like, I'm not too street smart, but I'd like to be.
Yeah. So, it seems like some rural areas have high school forestry programs, so people know about it earlier.
And plus, because probably some of their parents directly do it as a career.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd never, I mean, I would never even imagine that in Vegas, because we don't even have trees. So.
What did your parents think about you wanting to be going to forestry? Were they surprised?
They were surprised, but it wasn't like they were like, oh, we don't want you to do that. It was like, they were like, wow, that's cool. Do it, you know? Like, and now I'm telling my parents, I'm pretty convinced, I'm just a sophomore, but I'm pretty convinced for like the past year I've talked to like 5 reps, and like I see one on a weekly basis. He advises our club. I'm pretty interested in going to the Peace Corps right when I graduate, and then for 2 years serving in that capacity, and then after that seeing if I like to go back to school or work for a few years and then go back, or I don't know. I feel like some aspects of forestry, like what I would like to do with my career, my parents aren't like too crazy about, but they're happy I'm doing something that I like and that they already see like benefits from it.
Do you remember anything like when you first thought about forestry, like what sparked?
It's so weird because I was just thinking, I was like, what do I want to do for a career? I was like, what sounds interesting to me? And like things like journalism and writing are pretty interesting to me. I'd say that's the only other thing that could like rival forestry or could have back then. And now I'm just like, you know, I feel like I couldn't serve in any other way. I feel like this is the way that I'm equipped, even if I'm not too like street smart equipped. Like, I feel like I feel pretty motivated to pursue this field, even if there's like downsides. Like, I came on, my goal this week was to come and just find out what the heck I want to do with forestry, because I don't know what I want to do. I know I like it, but I see like certain professions in forestry and I'm like, I don't want to do that. And so I was down kind of on the floor just like talking to people about what they do, and like if they tell me what they do and what their job consisted of, and some people I would just be like, check off box, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And others I would just be like, you know, like that's cool. So I don't know. The thing that got me interested in forestry, I'd say, was just its uniqueness. It's cool. Like, I mean, it's like an added cool thing at school. Like, all my friends like know, like, I'm the only forestry major. Like, I'm the forestry major. And I'm in the honors program, and like I'm the only forestry major, I think, like in the whole honors program. It's so weird. It's such a small like group, and we're so close knit, and everyone knows everyone. Like, I know all the professors here. Like, it's not like they're just like, hey Max. It's like they stop and talk to me because they know who I am.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's cool. Like, when I went to, this is a little off topic, but like one thing that made me choose CSU over Oregon State was I went to CSU, and the professors like treated me like I was someone. Mm. At Oregon State, they're just like, oh, we have this giant forestry program, like nationally acclaimed, like you're just another piece.
Mm.
Like, it was like no one really went out of their way to do anything for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the personal makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I had a follow-up, but I forgot. So, what are your thoughts about diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession?
I just think we have so many taboos about even talking about diversity that sometimes it just scares people off from even thinking about it. And then they just isolate themselves in their own communities of, in forestry's case, of just like white men, where they're like, oh, we'd be all for diversity. Like, the guys in forestry are like teddy bears. They're so nice. Like, they're just big dudes in like flannels that have beards. Like, when I have a beard, I'm like that. And I don't know. It's just people spend so much time not talking about diversity that nothing happens because they don't talk about it. I mean, I met a guy yesterday who is literally the diversity hirer for the whole Forest Service. Mm-hmm. And he was so nice. And he's like, yeah, that's what I do. Like, a government runs better on diversity. Like, there's studies have shown, and he told me all this stuff about it. And I had never thought of it from that perspective.
Yeah.
And so people, like, diversity in forestry, if people just identify some of the challenges that people who aren't white men are facing, then maybe the white men will help those people, mm-hmm. because they know exactly how they can help them.
And will you tell me how you think about diversity in terms of definition? Like, what encompasses?
Well, I would say I think about diversity as, so in my case, interests, because I don't think, like, the same way as I feel like 75% of the people here. Like, I just don't have the same interests, forestry-wise. And so I think about it, like, with, like, inner field diversity. Of interest. And then I also, of course, think of, like, ethnicity, because, like, I feel like, especially, like, having the federal government around this weekend, they pounded into diversity. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that.
My other question, when you were talking about finding out what jobs you want to go into,
mm-hmm.
What are the sorts that you're checking off, like, that you're crossing out?
I don't think I'm too interested in silviculture. I don't think I'm too interested in logging. Maybe timber sale administration, just before I go any farther. Because I think what I want to do is work in the field, get the technical experience, learn exactly what I'm talking about, and then move and do policy eventually. I don't know when. But I'd like to do policy eventually. I think when my knees don't work, that'll be fine. That'll be an excuse to go do policy.
That's a good plan. So back to, we're talking about diversity. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your cultural background has helped or hindered your job or your prospects in forestry?
It's totally, like, hindered my perspective, because I have to, like, broaden it every day when I'm in class, when I'm in just, like, hanging out with people who are from rural communities, like most of my friends are, and, like, it's very interesting, like, but I'm happy because I get to broaden my spectrum, mm-hmm. or broaden my view every day, but I've got a lot to learn.
What role can SAF play in enhancing diversity and inclusion? Before, you mentioned identifying challenges, which I think is a good suggestion. And this could also be not just what SAF can do, but also what other institutions, like, at the university level.
That's hard. I think the SAF can maybe put together, so there's, like, something, we have something at our school called Society of Women in Environmental Careers. No, it's called SWEP. I don't know what the P stands for. But just maybe SAF could integrate organizations like that without, like, segregating men from women, like, and their views within SAF. But if they could integrate, like, societies like that of, like, empowered women foresters or empowered minority foresters. I mean, eventually, like, white people will be the minority in America. But I'm not arguing that I'll be a part of that. I'm just saying. But for right now, I mean, that would probably be beneficial, having offshoots of the SAF with different groups of ethnicities and genders. And I feel like that's the only way it can be done right now.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be pretty, like, they should, like, blatantly try to make some groups to empower those groups of people. Because sometimes in forestry, they probably don't feel pretty empowered.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned you're the outreach,
mm-hmm.
person for the Colorado State chapter, mm-hmm. of SAF. What sort of things have you found to be successful for outreach?
So, honestly, we have only done one event this year so far, but we have a big one planned for next Saturday. We're going to the I believe it's, like, one of the top five leading cancer hospitals in the U.S. where, like, the kids stay there all year. I'm taking 10 people there next weekend, and we're going to do, like, a few hours of crafts with them and stuff, and take some, like, samples and talk about forestry facts and stuff.
Cool.
Won't be, like, a teaching thing, because, I mean, they probably won't want to be taught by us, but we're just going to try to make it fun and throw in some forestry stuff at the same time. Just because we've never done that before, and last year I was like, you know, that'll be fun. Like, I know a few, like, one of my best buds got cancer last year, and he beat it. I mean, he's good right now, but I was like, you know, those kids may never get to go outside.
Yeah.
So we're doing something like that. In the spring, we have a scout day where it's the kids get merit badges when they do forestry stuff with us. Unfortunately, last year that got snowed out, so I didn't get to do that last year. And then we have a ranch day where we get like two elementary schools worth of kids out of school to go like kind of by up in the Rocky Mountains to this little ranch, and they do forestry activities,
cool,
natural resources activities all day.
That's really cool.
So that's the kind of stuff we coordinate, and hopefully we'll do a lot more this year. We're trying to do two events a semester.
What sort of forest products do you bring? Are you going to bring next week?
Whatever they let us, honestly, because like they're really big on, oh, we have to give this to like our infectious disease department or something to like check them off that we can bring things because it could get the kids sick. So we have a few like samples of like trees and leaves and pine cones and things in like these, it's not like plexiglass, it's
like acrylic.
It's like acrylic, yeah, in like acrylic molds. And so if we can bring those in, we'll bring whatever we can if it's in the acrylic molds.
Cool. And have you seen new faces? Like, is that the people that you're bringing next week, are they already in the club, or are you getting new people?
Well, we actually, like, I met a couple new people that wanted to come to this, but they were in the club. I just didn't know them that well. I mean, our club's pretty big. I'd say we're like 50 people deep. I mean, every meeting, probably about 25 come. It's every other week. But to the big events, we probably 50 total. So I've met like four new people that wanted to come.
And what is the gender or ethnicity breakdown in the club?
In the club, I'd say it's about 2/3 men, 1/3 women. And then I'd say, I'd say there's almost no ethnic breakdown. I'd say there's no other ethnic group besides white people, which is interesting now that I'm thinking about it. But, I mean, our forestry program isn't that diverse at CSU. Like, one of the first things I realized at CSU when I got there, coming from Vegas, where, like, some of my best friends are, like a melting pot of cultures. And, like, I've got a diverse friend group back home. Like, there's, not saying it's a bad thing in Colorado, but there's, like, no diversity in Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly white people. And I was pretty interested. I was like, wow, like, walking around school the first couple of weeks, I'm like, this is weird. I mean, you can see how, like, they stress diversity up here in places like this where you're in a farm town. Just, there's no other people.
Yeah. okay, this is a good one. Where do you see the profession of forestry going in the next 20 to 100 years?
So this is why I signed up for this, because, like, I didn't know what I was going to be, going to say about this. But honestly, like, I don't know whether to be, like, worried or optimistic, because I want to do this job, and I want to do it well, and I want to, you know, I don't know. I want to do the job, I want to do it well, and I'd like to hopefully benefit the American people. And I just, the way our government's going and the way that we value environmental things and policy, regardless of who's the president, I feel like they'll treat it the same way. I mean, I just don't see money being set aside for environmental policy, even though it's really important. And I don't know. I think it's going to be, like, up to this generation to do something about it. I'm not saying I'm going to go out there and change the world, da-da-da. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the Peace... Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm going to go to the Peace Corps. I'm going to help 10 villages. Like, it's kind of scary, though, because, like, again, walking around down there, I'm looking at people and their professions, and I'm like, you know, I feel like that's not benefiting. Not all of them. I just feel like I looked at someone and I was like, wow, like, that seems like I wouldn't have a good time doing that, because I wouldn't feel optimistic every day going to work. And, that's another reason why it would be nice to be in policy, because, I mean, I'd have somewhat of a direct impact. That would be cool. So I see the field of forestry, like, I see these next 10, 20 years being, like, a major turning point, regardless of if it's bad or good.
So is there the Peace Corps connection? Is that through the forestry club, or you just know the Peace Corps reps?
So I met the rep. I don't know him too well, but one, our club advisor actually served in the Peace Corps.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, his name's Bob. He went when he was like 52. So he's like, he did it fairly recently. And he's got good things to say. And obviously everyone that I talk to say it's going to simultaneously be the worst years of your life and the best years of your life. So be prepared.
Did he do forestry-related work?
Somewhat environmental, somewhat forestry. I heard when you get out there, it's kind of like subjective what happens to you, what kind of work you do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have? I know you can't choose where you go, but do you have any
preferences? Southeast Asia, I feel like, or like Nepal or something. I mean, I wouldn't mind going anywhere, honestly. Like, it would be cool to end up in Africa. It would be cool to go out there. I just, looking on their website and like their map, where what they need, where. Mm-hmm. There's really not a lot of environmental stuff in Africa. There's lots in Southeast Asia, Nepal, like the areas like that. Latin America, I couldn't see myself going there because you need to know Spanish beforehand. It's not like they teach it to you as you're in the program. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have time to pick that up at school, which kind of makes me sad, but whatever.
Okay. Flipping over. So this question is, how has the profession of forestry changed throughout your career? So maybe another way to ask that is if you've noticed any differences?
Maybe like earlier in my life, how I thought I saw it as compared to now?
Yeah, that's
maybe.
Good.
Well, earlier in my life, I mean, it seemed like, obviously now looking back at the facts and figures, the USDA had more money, for example, and like An Inconvenient Truth came out, and like all those big things were like, all of that was relatively new, and people were like, wow, we need to do something. Now I just see like, I'm saying, like, wars, in my opinion, are more important. Like, the country's defense is important to keep the United States moving as a country and, like, functioning and us living in freedom to follow forestry as a career. But they just seem to put, like, the forestry and natural resources as a whole just off to the side year after year after year. And I don't, like, know what they expect to happen, like, what the government expects to happen if they do that year after year, and then one year they're just going to be like, wow, we're 30 years behind and we're in trouble. Like, this is not good. We don't have enough money. We already don't have enough money. And so I think I've seen forestry change, or just natural resources in general, because that's easier to look at as a whole. I've just kind of seen it get shoved farther and farther, like under a mat, I feel like.
What's been the most rewarding part so far?
I'd say it's been really cool being in SAF and meeting all these really new people that have all, like, last night we were at our university alumni dinner thing, whatever, and like the older people, the alums, were going around the room saying what they do and how they got there. And like, at our school, we have, like, two grads who, like, were second-in-commands of the Forest Service, and, like people who, like, run their own consulting firms, and, like, all this cool stuff. And I was just like, wow, like, I'm pretty proud to go here. I'm pretty proud to go to CSU. And so I think that the most rewarding aspect of what I see to come and what has already happened has just been how much I've learned in like a short span and the people I've met.
Mm-hmm. What have been the biggest challenges so far?
Oh, not being a city boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like, that's totally the only challenge. And also, I just found out like 6 months ago. So throughout high school, I was always really, like, my junior year on of high school, I was always really tired all the time. And I didn't know why. I was just like, oh, yeah, you play two sports. Like, you're busy, you eat a lot, like, da-da-da, you should be tired, you should be fatigued, like, you're working hard. And then when I got to college, I didn't play sports anymore, and I mean, I obviously still work out and run and whatever, but, like, I found, like, I was like, why am I still tired in class? This is ridiculous. And so I went to the doctor. Like, four doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. Also, they all said I was just fatigued. And then one of them recommended me to a sleep doctor, and it found out through blood markers and a sleep study that I have narcolepsy, which is a sleeping disorder where I don't go into REM sleep like normal people do. So basically every night of sleep for the rest of my life is not going to be enough sleep. And so it varies how tired I am waking up every day, but usually I'm not tired for the whole day. So that, I'd say that's been the biggest challenge, and that's going to be the biggest challenge for the rest of my life, because I constantly have to worry about, oh, are you, like, coherent enough right now to be able to do this task? Are you too tired to do this? And, like, it sucks, because, like, I use it a lot. Like, I think about it a lot on my worst days, and I'm just like, dang, like, you're never going to be as good as those people because they're not tired all the time. And there's, like, the doctor was straight up. He's like, there's no cure. It's going to be like this for the rest of your life. All I have for you is medication. So I just feel, like, pretty weak having to take medication. And, like, I don't know. So that's going to be, like, that's a challenge because, like, but I also think it motivates me. It motivates me, too, because I'm like, you got to work harder now. You got to work a lot harder. And I'm not looking for, like, people to give me sympathy or anything. I just kind of don't want people to know. I mean, so that's the biggest challenge.
Is that the sort of thing you have to put on job applications?
Not really. Honestly, like, with it's mostly, like, doable just to, like, live with it, but it's just annoying. Mm-hmm. But, like, on the disability part, I can put, like, other and just explain it just so they know, like, I'm doing it and I'm on medication just so they don't think anything bad of me. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something that goes on a job application.
Can you think of a specific person that helped you along the way?
Let's see. I would say a specific person. Sorry, this one's hard. I've met a lot of people.
That's okay. You can list more than one, too.
Okay. So, my engine captain this summer, his name was Chris at the BLM. He was, like, a small-town boy. Like, he'd always lived in that town his whole life. Like, he always worked for the BLM his whole life. And he was pretty just, like, pretty frank about things, which was good because, like, that's what I needed. Like, in a nice way. Like, he respected me, and he respected that I was from a different place, and I didn't really understand what was going on. So he was nice to me, but also very, like, stern and, like, you got to do it like this. You got to be like this. You can't get by doing it like that, just with, like, little things. And so he was really cool. He helped me a lot. I'd say that the people, the leadership in SAF is really supportive. At our school, they are all, whenever there's opportunities to connect or to do outreach to people even in the club, they're around to help you with whatever you need, help you with jobs, and just be supportive. So that's really nice. And also I'd say people like my roommates. I've got eight roommates. It's great. I love it. We live in an awesome big house in Fort Collins, Colorado. They're really helpful. Yeah, they're really helpful because they're also a part of my campus ministry. So it's cool because I can come home, you know, after a stressful day, and I come back to my community, like my community of dudes, my brothers in Christ that I can relate to, like, usually in all aspects. And they've always got my back no matter what is hard going on. That'll also be a big challenge. Sorry, going back to
that's okay.
A big challenge in my career is, like, trying to uphold the values of, like, being a Christian man, but also, you know, serve my government. If I work for the government or serve whoever I'm working for, you know, effectively, and be a good worker and be, like faithful to them.
Has that been, is that an, does it come in to work or school? So in terms of forestry and being a Christian?
What do you mean, like a challenge?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could just see it being a challenge, like in the force. Like if I were to work for the U.S. Forest Service, like I can't really, like they aren't too crazy about people like representing their faith like at work. Like I mean, I could talk about it, but just not like be blatant about anything. Not that I would. I'm just like, well, the government's like a secular thing, and I don't want to get in some conflict that's unnecessary for no reason. Like that would be terrible. But at school, no, I mean, it's fine. Like, no, it's fine. No challenges.
Oh, I want to go back. So do any of your friends from Las Vegas, are any of them in forestry?
No, they're all like business majors. They all went far away though. They're all spread out around the country. Business majors, political science. One of them is like environmental science, but that's about as close as it gets. When I said I was doing forestry to everyone in Vegas, who like, it's like to people, it's really not like appealing because they all hear about like what the starting salaries are for like low level people, and they're like, ugh, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm from Vegas. Like, my parents work on the strip. Like this and that. Like, I couldn't have a job like that where I don't make money. You know, but like the way I look at it is like, if you work hard enough at a career and you invest a good part of your life into it, you'll get to where you want to be, and you'll. Like, making money will come along with that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's important to get a job.
Yeah, yes.
And there are jobs in forestry. Okay, last question on here. What advice would you give a student or a new forester just starting off? Or maybe an alternative, or I'll hold back one question.
I think I've got advice already, even though I'm just a sophomore. Join SAF, because like it's such a great networking community. People who care immediately about your situation if you make an effort to know them. People that you'll meet immediately. Like last year I was in SAF for like 4 months and I met a guy who had retired as second in command from the Forest Service like 2 years earlier. And he was like already ready to help me with things. And I was like, what? Like, you're awesome. This is great. Like, I would say a new student, like new forestry students at CSU that aren't returned like vets or something, I would say they come in with like a mindset of like, oh, I don't need to worry till I'm a junior. But they should totally, freshman year, like SAF is helpful, regardless of if you're super involved or not. That would be the advice I give them. Join SAF.
That's good advice. Do you think that anything you could do, or maybe someone else could have done at your high school, would have encouraged more people to think about forestry?
Oh, just tell them about it. No one even knows it exists.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. If someone could just, like, come in and just... I don't know in what capacity someone would talk about it, but... because I don't even know what class, like, I would even walk into to talk about forestry, you know? Mm-hmm. If I could do that. Because I would love to go back to my high school and do that. I mean, I still am, like, close with a few of the teachers and, like... I don't know. I would say that's hard. I feel like maybe they need to establish a framework to do that in suburban high schools, in big cities, talk about forestry, because then maybe more people will care about the environment as a whole.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think. I mean, I didn't know about forestry.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered all the questions, but if you'd like to add anything else about forestry or SAF or diversity that we didn't cover?
I don't know. If I get a job today, I'll be happy.
Okay. And then they'd just like to know a few demographic questions for their records. What year were you born?
97.
And what gender do you identify as?
Male.
And what is your ethnic, racial, or cultural background?
White.
Perfect. Oh, I have to read this. Thank you for your participation in this project. We have your contact information, and we'll let you know when the interviews are compiled and send you copies of the recordings if you'd like.
Cool.